Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Have you been paying any attention to this, I don't quite know what to call it, J.D. Vance and Usha Vance business? This is super fascinating to me. I'm going to have to run you through the history of it a little bit before we can get to talking about what's going on right now. But the short version is that J.D. Vance says that he'd like Usha Vance to convert to Christianity. And the left and the media lost their minds. Just lost their minds completely. But before we get to talking about, you know, whether that's appropriate or inappropriate or, you know, what it means, let's go back in history a little bit. Okay? This was from last October, almost exactly a year ago, October 12th of last year. This is during the campaign. J.D. Vance talking about his faith, because his wife was moderate Hindu upbringing, okay? He was an agnostic when they got married. He has since converted to Catholicism, okay? And they take the kids to Catholic Church. Okay? So this is him talking during an interview about a year ago.
I feel terrible for my wife because we go to church almost every Sunday unless we're on the road. And
does she go with you? I
mean, she does. Yeah, she does.
She converted?
No, she
well?
Hasn't. No, it's that's why I feel bad about it is, you know, she's got three kids. Obviously, I help with the kids, but because I'm kind of the one going to church, she feels like more responsibility to keep the kids quiet in the church. And I felt kind of bad, like, oh, you didn't sign up to marry a weekly churchgoer, and are you okay with this? And she was sort of more than okay with it.
More than okay with it. By the way, just on that one little vignette, I know you can't tell a lot about a marriage on one comment, but that sounds like a fantastically healthy marriage, right? Not because they're in agreement, but because in the presence of a disagreement, they're working it out in a very loving and sacrificial way, which sounds wonderful. You know, she's not a Christian, not a Catholic. They're not the same thing, by the way. I mean, Catholics think they are, but, you know. Anyway, there's a lot to be said there. But, you know, loving, devoted. She's taking care of the kids, bringing them to church with him. She's not really there for her. So, you know, but you hear he feels terrible because she's sacrificing for him. And I don't know, it's kind of wonderful. Okay, flash forward to this month. Well, I guess now it's November. Last month on about October 16th, okay, on MSNBC. This was not quite the beginning of it all, but okay. This is just so you get some context of the things that are getting said right now. Jennifer Welch on MSNBC.
Is married to a woman of Indian descent.
Yes.
He has mixed race children.
Yes.
So to all of the MAGA voters out there, if this man will not defend his wife and will not defend his kids, do you think he gives a crap about you or anything to do with you?
Yeah, so nice measured comments. You know, the kind of things that get said in American politics. And this was his comment, around the same time, okay, at an event, okay?
I think she's doing a great job as Second Lady of the United States, and I'm so proud to have her back by my side. And here's the thing, because the cameras are all on, anything that I say, no matter how crazy, Usha has to smile and laugh and celebrate it.
Now, that's either super endearing and adorable and funny, or like, oh my God, she's in The Handmaid's Tale. Like, no, it's just... these are the jokes that you tell. I mean, it sounds super healthy to me. All right, here's where we start to get to where it's interesting. Just giving you a little bit of context. On the 21st of last month, you have Jen Psaki, former White House press secretary. Jen Psaki, the redhead. Okay, I don't say that with any pride. But she is. That might help you identify her if you don't know who she is. With the Yes Women, I'm not sure who this is anyway. It didn't make sense to me, but it doesn't matter. Talking about Usha Vance, this is where things started to get really ugly.
I think the little Manchurian candidate, J.D. Vance, wants to be president more than anything else.
Yeah.
I always wonder what's going on in the mind of his wife. Like,
agreed.
Are you okay? Please blink four times.
Yes.
We'll come over here. We'll save you. And that he's willing to do anything to get there.
What an unbelievably insulting, condescending, arrogant. No woman could be happily married to a guy like that. You're a hostage. Blink four times and tell us we'll come rescue you. Man, just so wrong. Okay, so they asked him about her comments because this is how politics goes these days. Did you hear what she said? What'd she say? What'd she write on the bathroom wall? I don't know. Was it on Instagram? Well, you know, like, it's the he said, she said gossip chain just with bigger people, right? And bigger bank accounts.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki made some comments suggesting that your wife, the second lady, needed to be saved from you. How do you feel about comments like that being made while you're here with the second lady?
I think it's disgraceful, but of course the second lady can speak for herself.
By the way, that's your first answer. Ask her. You have to ask me. Oh, well, no, she's a captive hostage, you know, prisoner. No, just ask her. This is not that hard.
And I'm very lucky to have a wonderful wife. And I know, or at least I hope that my wife feels the same about me. But we are very lucky to have this journey. Or I should say I'm very lucky to go on this journey with a very loving wife. We're going to keep on serving the country together. And I'm honored to have Usha by my side on this trip in particular, but always.
All right. So that was his answer to Jen Psaki's absolutely outrageous comments. And then at a speech at Ole Miss, this is the Turning Point USA, TPUSA event at Ole Miss. This is last week on Thursday. And this is the one that has gotten the big headlines. Okay. But I wanted you to have a little bit of context in the background here.
Yes, my wife did not grow up.
He was asked about his and her religion. Okay.
And yes, my wife did not grow up Christian. I think it's fair to say that she grew up in a Hindu family, but not a particularly religious family in either direction. In fact, when I met my wife, we were both, I would consider myself an agnostic or an atheist, and that's what I think she would have considered herself as well. You know, everybody has to come to their own arrangement here. The way that we've come to our arrangement is she's my best friend. We talk to each other about this stuff. So we decided to raise our kids Christian. Our two oldest kids who go to school, they go to a Christian school. Our eight-year-old did his first communion about a year ago. That's the way that we have come to our arrangement. But thank you. My eight-year-old was also very proud of his first communion. Thank you, guys. I'll tell him that Ole Miss wishes him the best.
And mixed religion families, whether they start that way, in their case, they were both pretty indifferent to religion, as I understand it. He was an agnostic, and she was a marginally Hindu. And then, you know, he, of course, gets converted into Catholicism, and now he's serious about religion. Mixed religion households are hard to figure out. That's why I recommend you don't marry somebody outside your religious faith, because it's hard to figure out, especially when you have the kids. What do you do with the kids? This is going to get even better in a second. I'll come back in just a moment. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still accident-free right now, and we're still seeing no delays this morning. Highway 29, 90, all look good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Yeah, my advice to people when it comes to, you know, whom you marry is never marry outside your religion. 10 or 12 nevers, depending on who I'm talking to. Can't emphasize it enough. Now, people can change, of course, but it's a terrible way to start. It's just you're setting yourself up for all kinds. Can it work? Sure. Is it against the odds? It's absolutely against the odds. You know, common framework for values, problem solving, accountability, just all the things that come with having a shared religion. You don't want to start without that in place. Can it work without it? Of course it can. In fact, there's kind of some interesting passages in the Bible that deal with, you know, if you become a Christian and your other person won't come with you or leaves you, you know, what to do. Like, it's not a new problem. This has been around for a long time. Anyway, so back to this conversation that J.D. Vance is having at Ole Miss about his religion, his wife's religion, and what they do with the kids.
But I think everybody has to have this own conversation when you're in a marriage. I mean, it's true for friends of mine who are in Protestant and Catholic marriages, friends of mine who are in, you know, atheist and Christian marriages. You just got to talk to the only advice I can give is you just got to talk to the person that God has put you with, and you've got to make those decisions as a family unit. For us, it works out.
Yeah. That's exactly it. You've got to make those decisions as a family. It can be very difficult. Sometimes it's easier. It sounds like in their case, at least on the surface, it sounds like it was easier, but I don't know what went on in the background. And this is the one that has gotten all the headlines.
Now, most Sundays, Usha will come with me to church. As I've told her and I've said publicly, and I'll say now in front of 10,000 of my closest friends, do I hope eventually that she is somehow moved by the same thing that I was moved in by church? Yeah, I honestly do wish that, because I believe in the Christian gospel, and I hope eventually my wife comes to see it the same way.
Which, if you're a Christian, is like the most bland gloss on what it means to be a Christian. I hope my wife encounters the gospel in the same way that I have. Duh. Like, this is so uncontroversial. Oh, my goodness. You would have thought that he was advocating for the enslavement of puppies. I mean, it's the kinds of headlines that this has drawn. Backlash, outrage, you know, indignation. What did I say last hour? Is it true? Is much more important and first before you care whether anybody's offended by it. And, of course, the reason that people are offended by this is because either they don't understand Christianity or they don't think that anybody takes Christianity seriously. And so it's hard for them to fathom somebody who does understand Christianity and does take it seriously. The number one person in your life that you would want to be born again, if you're born again, is your wife or your husband. And then your kids and then everybody else. Of course. Seriously, it's not even controversial. So the fact that he said this and people got upset is evidence that either A, they don't understand, and in mainstream news, I know, unfortunately, most people don't understand religion. There are not religion reporters. They don't grasp religion. They report on it wrong all the time. Or if they do understand it, they kind of have this like arm's length relationship with religion where they kind of used to be it or they heard about it or something. But they certainly they're too good for it. You know, certainly they don't take it seriously. Certainly it's not something they believe. And so when somebody comes along and actually believes it, and generally their view is something like this, you know, all religions are about the same. You know, all religions are about equal. All religions are, you know, all paths go to the top of the mountain. You know, everybody's, you know, there are many ways to encounter God. There are many ways to encounter God. That doesn't mean that there aren't false ways. That doesn't mean that there aren't errors. The one thing, though, that, about this this relativistic view of religion, that all religions are equal, is that it is the most insulting and arrogant and condescending view of all the views you could possibly have. Because the one thing that all religious people will agree about is that there's one answer and that the answers matter and that you can be wrong. So along comes the relativist, you know, the anthropologist of religion comes along and says, no, 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 what you guys need to do is you need to, you know, all understand that nothing that you believe matters and there is no truth and it's all just opinion. And why can't you guys just get along and realize that, you know, all paths go. Well, you are A, making a truth claim that is more offensive and false and illogical than everything they're saying. At least they take for granted the idea that we can't all be right. You're saying you're all wrong because I'm right in saying that all of you are wrong, which is an incredibly arrogant thing to say. So the cultural relativists, the media people, they lose their minds. You know, the idea that, and why don't you respect her religion? Well, what do you mean respect it? Like, believe that she has the free will to believe it? Respect? Or believe that all everybody's own ideas about religion are equally valid? Because that's ridiculous. And it's certainly incompatible with actually believing in a religion. The only people who believe that are people who don't actually believe in a religion. So the notion that, you know, he's invested his life in this thing and he would love to see his wife invest her life in this thing is, I mean, it's so obvious and bland that it's minimalism Christian. And the fact that they're upset about it is fascinating. He finished up with this comment.
If she doesn't, then God says everybody has free will. And so that doesn't cause a problem for me. That's something you work out with your friends, with your family, with the person that you love. Again, one of the most important Christian principles is that you respect free will. Usha's closer to the priests who baptized me than maybe I am. They talk about this stuff. My attitude is you figure this stuff out as a family and you trust in God to have a plan and you try to follow it as best as you can. And that's what I try to do.
I mean, it sounds like Christianity to me. And the upset over it is really just upset over people actually having the audacity to, you know, believe in Christianity. John Pickens, we've got, Blue Angels, right?
Yes, the history of the Blues is presented by Dale's Marine Construction.
The 1967 season of the Blue Angels began with winter training at El Centro Naval Air Station in the Imperial Valley Desert of Southern California. This was the first year for winter training at El Centro, and they've conducted winter training there ever since. One reason for Navy flight training over the desert is the sharp contrast between the blue sky and the brown sand. When training over water, as they used to do in Key West, Florida, the difference between the blue sky and the blue water is much less obvious, which makes vertigo more likely. The El Centro base also provides the Blues with a vast, relatively air traffic-free zone for practicing their delicate maneuvers. The 1967 season was a year for long-distance travel for the Blue Angels as they performed 65 flight demonstrations throughout Europe, North Africa, the Middle East, and Canada, plus Alaska and many other U.S. states. Americans in every state had a chance to see the Blue Angels in 1968 when the team went on a whirlwind tour of the United States, performing air shows in all 50 states. In October of the same year, Lieutenant Mary Russell reported to the Blue Angels as public information officer, becoming the first female to be assigned to the Navy flight demonstration team. The November 17, 1968 performance at NAS El Centro was not only the final show of the season, it was the final show in the F-11 Tigers II. After 22 years of flying Grumman-built aircraft and 11 of those in the Tiger, the Blue Angels were switching to the McDonnell Douglas F-4 Phantom fighter jet, which was serving the Navy so well in Vietnam. Because of the tremendous power of those Mach 2 F-4s, supersonic speeds were easily attained, even without intending to, as happened at an air show in Canada on August 6, 1969. The Blue Angels were performing in Kelowna, British Columbia, when, due to high terrain, it was necessary for one of the pilots to deviate from his normal flight path to rejoin the others in formation. He got slightly behind in his timing, and in order to catch up, lit his afterburners for just a second or two. But this caused his plane to break the sound barrier, and the resulting sonic boom shook the city and shattered most of the windows in an 8-block area downtown. I'll be back with more after this.
Dale's Marine Construction has been building high-quality waterfront structures in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties for 35 years, making Dale's Marine the leading marine contractor for seawall projects, riprap, docks, boathouses, and boat lifts. From planning and permitting through construction, the experienced foremen at Dale's Marine Construction are true craftsmen who do the job right. Get your dream waterfront installation started today and live the dock life with Dale's Marine Construction, proud sponsor of the Blue Angels.
Blue Angels must be strong, healthy, and fit. So why was there a fat Blue Angel added in 1970? Find out in the next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Tune in Friday at 9 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Rob Gregg, the president of the National Association of Veterans Upward Bound, and Amanda McRae, the coordinator for the Veteran and Military Family Service Center from Pensacola State College, will be on the show discussing our veterans and military. This will be a very informative show that you don't want to miss. Friday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Caroline, listen to me. Do not go into the light. Stop where you are. Turn away from it. Don't even look at it.
I just think Halloween needs more than one day. Especially for all the sound drops I've got for Halloween-related things. Oh, man, I'm getting so many great texts in here. I wish I could share all of them. Briefly, one person says, my atheist friend one time said that the only difference between a believer and an atheist is that an atheist has said that one more religion than the believer says is wrong, as in all of them, as opposed to just one of them being right. That's a good point. You know, the atheist says they're all wrong. The religious person says at least one of them's right. Let's see. Somebody else says, if JD had said, well, I don't care if she converts to my religion, what would that have meant? Like, I'm indifferent to her eternal salvation, whether she goes to heaven or hell. I don't care. It's fine. Whatever. Anything goes. Right. I mean, that would have been worse. Well, no, because they don't believe that that's a real thing. David Wayne, you got a headline for us, sir?
I sure do. Well, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says food assistance payments could start soon again. The Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, or SNAP, ran out of money on the 1st. Two federal judges did rule the Trump administration will need to make partial payments and can use discretionary funding. Also, a quick note here, Dwayne Roberts, the burrito billionaire, has passed away. He's known for inventing the frozen burrito. He died at the age of 88.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Pardon me. 6:30 here on almost 6:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, somebody else said, wow, it was a surprise to me that after 60 years, I discovered that as a Catholic, I'm not a Christian. Well, that is not what I said. That is not what I said. But it's true that historically, Catholics have thought that Protestants weren't Christians, and Protestants have thought that Catholics weren't Christians. That's why we had a Reformation and church split and, you know, heresies and Spanish Inquisition. You know, there's kind of a history here, right? These days, both sides generally are more inclusive, tolerant, and mild-mannered towards each other. But, yeah, no, I did not say that Catholics are not Christians, because I'm actually as pro-Catholic and evangelical as you can be.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Day 34, the government shutdown approaching the 35-day record. President Trump says he doesn't understand what Democrats are doing.
We have voted 14 times to open the country, and they vote to keep it closed. All they have to do is vote to open the country, and we only need 5 Democrats.
Promising open the country, we'll talk about the Obamacare COVID subsidies. Former President Obama emerging as the Democrat Party closer, looking to make 3 off-year local elections national, with tight races in New Jersey and Virginia, blaming Trump for what he calls the chaos coming out of Washington. President Trump will not attend Supreme Court oral arguments this week on the legality of his global tariffs, saying he doesn't want to be a distraction, but telling reporters economic security is also national security. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 45 degrees right now. Sunshine this morning in Pensacola. The first female police chief in Milton hosted a class over the weekend aimed at teaching women how to defend themselves. Milton Police Chief Jennifer Frank hosted that class Saturday. She said it's an opportunity for women to show they have power, strength, courage, and a voice to be able to combat instances where they're put in a situation they are uncomfortable with. A 20-year-old Pensacola man is dead after crashing into a wall on I-10. This happened near mile marker 14 on Saturday morning. Officials say they're still investigating what caused the crash. FHP said the driver ran off the side of the interstate and crashed into a sound barrier wall. According to the report, he was wearing a seatbelt at the time, but was pronounced dead at the scene. FHP is still investigating. Also, a crash under investigation that killed a Bay Minette man in Baldwin County. It was a multi-car crash on Baldwin County Road 138, also Saturday morning. Officials say 41-year-old Scott Garrett McKee was driving a Volkswagen that crashed into a Nissan, then into a pickup truck. McKee was not wearing a seatbelt at the time of the crash. He also died at the scene of that accident. Police in Foley are investigating a shooting on South Juniper Street. Officers say they found a victim with a gunshot wound when they arrived at the scene yesterday morning. 3 suspects have been identified and detained in connection. Police are asking anybody with information to contact them. Right now, there's no word on the current condition of that victim. Well, thanks to a church in Escambia County, thousands of people are now clear of medical debt. Transformation Church in Pensacola said yesterday that it had paid the medical bills of more than 4,000 people. That amounts to about $6.5 million. Lead pastor Brad Livingston said he wants the church to be known for generosity, compassion, and community impact. Al, the upcoming New York City election could have an impact here in Florida, at least according to Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins, who went on Fox News yesterday. He talked about Tuesday's New York mayoral election. He said if Zohran Mamdani wins, he's expecting there could be an exodus of New Yorkers that want to move to Florida. Collins gave a message to those considering that move. He said, "Don't New York our Florida." He said Florida stands for freedom and liberty. Well, a police officer was hurt after a crash in Hillsborough County. That happened yesterday in Winter Haven. Winter Haven Public Safety says the officer was responding to an emergency when his patrol car was hit by another vehicle. Investigators believe that driver was speeding. Both the officer and the other driver were taken to the hospital. Right now, there's no word on their current conditions. A man's dead after an officer-involved shooting in Hillsborough County. That happened in Brandon. The sheriff's office there says Mario Camacho had a knife and was barricaded in a room with his 7-year-old brother. Deputies kicked down the door when they heard the child screaming for help. When Camacho wouldn't drop the knife, he was shot. The 27-year-old was taken to the hospital where he died. The child was not hurt. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by the Apple Market. Discover Apple Market, the biggest little grocery store on the Gulf Coast. Fresh foods, local charm, friendly faces. Apple Mark, 1021 Scenic Highway in Pensacola. Just one accident right now at Fairfield Drive and North Pace Boulevard. It's off to the side of the road, but I'm not seeing any delays. I just wanted you to be aware of it. I-10, I-110 are all rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies. Temperatures around 67 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 47. Going into Tuesday, plenty of sunshine with a high near 73. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 56. For your Wednesday, partly cloudy skies, high near 77. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, it is sunny and 45 degrees this morning in Pensacola, 47 in Gulf Breeze, 46 in Milton. Your next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are slightly lower after OPEC Plus pauses Q1 output hikes. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $60.89 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $64.69 per barrel. XPeng maintained unbroken sales growth boosted by its mass market strategy. Competition is ramping up in the EV market as firms from BYD to startup Zeekr all posted delivery increases in October. Despite BYD's highest delivery numbers of the year, the EV maker also recorded a significant profit decline in the third quarter. Treasury yields ticked lower this morning as the government shutdown entered its fourth week, putting it on track to become the longest running yet. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield was one basis point lower at 4.085%. The 2-year Treasury yield was 2 basis points lower at 3.582%. Futures are moderately higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 40, the NASDAQ up 143. That's Your Money Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC?
Refinance an existing loan from another institution with Pinair Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at pinair.org/autorefi. That's pinair.org/autorefi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan applications submitted between October 1st and December 31st, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PINAIR for complete details.
Join Teddy Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for Car Care tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss Car Care tomorrow at 10:30 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7, wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed, then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpia Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Looks over the defense. Four wide receivers out in formation. Argos bring pressure. He throws it. He's got Reardon again. Reardon's got the catch. Reardon's in for the touchdown. Reardon and Ames are torching the Argos right now. Flags fly after the play. But it's going to be a touchdown. It's going to be a 39-yarder.
By the way, I will recommend that as I'm playing these clips for the Argos game against Delta State on Saturday, pay attention to the background announcer in the stadium. He's awesome. I mean, Will Kennedy's awesome, but the guy who's the hype man in the stadium is phenomenal. So here's what happened. It was a minute to go in the half, and the Argos had already been doing very well. They were, well, with some issues. Two early touchdowns, first two drives of the game. Then a botched, I think it was a field goal, that then they picked up the ball and got it in for a touchdown. So 21 points. They were up 18 points two different times. The next play after that one, by the way, the kickoff return went for a touchdown, so that's not good. But they were winning, you know, pretty handily. It was 28-17 at the time. So they were up by, 11 points. Well, then Delta State gets their touchdown. Now it's 28-24. You get down to the very end of the half, and our field goal unit has not been super reliable, and this also showed on Saturday. Not Brogan Werber's fault, okay, but he's the kicker. But we've had some snap issues, at least in this game, and some kick issues as well.
Hold us down. Werber up, and it's good. From 30 yards, the Argos convert.
Pretty good way to end the half, going up three more points. So it's 31-24 at this point. Keep that in mind, okay? So they are up by 7. And going into the third quarter, nothing really happens throughout the first 7 minutes. With 8 minutes, you've got a fumble by UWF.
They'll run two tight ends from the right to the left of this formation. Stokes will keep it. He gets a hole, gets through it. Oh, fumbles the football. It's on the turf. It's picked up.
Our quarterback gets hit.
And it's returned.
Loses the ball.
As Marcus burst through, had a lane, picked up about 5 or 6 yards, and then got hit.
Yeah, luckily no score ensued, but shortly thereafter, we did have a problem where, again, us with the ball and them.
Davis stays in the game. You probably had a short yardage play called. Ball's fumbled, and Delta scoops it up, and they return it into the end zone. Touchdown, Statesman.
A game that we were assuming we would win, but Delta State does play us hard sometimes. Okay, they have now tied the game. It's about 8:45 to go in the quarter, so we got a lot of football left to play. We're at Delta State. It's an away game. With 42 seconds left in the third quarter, UWF's got the ball.
Ball at the 9. Need to get to the 4. They'll pull it. Stokes keeps it inside the 5. Down near the goal line. Did he get in? They're going to say he did not. I thought he extended the football. They're going to say he's down at the goal line.
Marcus Stokes running it again.
Coach Neville's got both hands up. I think you got to review this, don't you?
After review, no failed to change. To a touchdown.
Hey, so they actually went to the fourth quarter and did a review. It was a very weird scenario. Nobody was expecting it to be overturned, but it was overturned on a, you know, down at the 1, down at the 6-inch, down at the actual made it across the goal line. So UWF goes up 37-31. They botch the extra point. That happens. It's a snap problem. Okay, the snap is bad. So then UWF again, okay, with just 14 and a half. So we've only played about 30 seconds in the fourth quarter.
Big third down. Do the Argos bring pressure? No, they rush with four, and they blow. They see the screen coming. They pick it off. Tony Newsom inside the five-yard line. Tony Newsom jumped the route, and Tony has done it again.
There you go. So Tony Newsom gets an interception. Fantastic. That leads to.
They'll go power formation. They hand it off. TJ Lane pushes in. Touchdown, Argos. They capitalize on the turnover right away. So this game of wild momentum swings continues.
Now we're up by 14, okay, because I get the 2 point after to make up for the missed point after previously. And then on like two plays later, Delta State. So it was 14 minutes to go. Now it's 13:39 to go.
Ames back to pass. Plenty of time. The Argos drop into coverage. He's going deep. He overthrows it. Newsom's got another one. His receiver, Armstrong, stopped. Newsom picks it off in the Argos end, gets tackled about the 50-yard line. But Tony Newsom, all right, I'm going to get the whole time. Tony has done it again. Again.
Pretty good. Within a minute, you get two interceptions in the same game. That's fairly unusual. UWF muffs another field goal attempt on a snapper error, and then Delta State, with 5 minutes to go in the game, they're down by 14 at this point.
The Delta Country Mile to get a first down. Byron Purrier off that left edge. He's looking at it. Here comes the rush. They collapse the pocket. He throws it. He's got a man. The Argos got a break on the football. And oh, Reardon catches it over the defender. Still going to the 30, to the 20, to the 10. Touchdown. Third and 22. And Ames finds Reardon again. And this one goes for 86 yards.
Listen to the guy.
Unbelievable. The one thing you cannot do is give up a touchdown.
I like listening to good callers. And Will's great. The guy in the background is doing fantastic. But 86 yards for Delta State for the touchdown to bring them within 7 with 5 minutes to go in the game. UWF's got the ball. UWF is doing what you do. You run off clock. You try to get it down. Fourth and one with 2 minutes to go. What do you do? Fourth and one with your UWF, okay? Do you go for the first down and force the issue that you can win the game? Or do you risk turning it over in your own end because at fourth and one, they have not been able to stop your run game? What do you do? And then they have a chance to score and tie the game.
Near side of the field is Corey Scott. Everybody else, Buffalo formation, power in the backfield, big bodies with Marcus and a running back. Problem is, you take this snap, you run it. He puts his head down. He falls forward. First down, Argos. Gets to the 40. Needed a yard. Got a yard and a half. It's going to move the sticks. It's going to be a first down.
So you thought that was the game, but not quite. Almost. We're almost there. Your Bogey's Golf Suites play of the game is coming up next. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
I was waiting. Okay.
Almost. We're almost there.
All right. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 look good. If you're on Highway 29 southbound, right around Kingsfield Road, we're starting to see just some minor delays in that area. Other than that, we're rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
All right, thanks so much, John. Yes, that brings us to your Bogey's Golf Suites UWF Argos play of the week. So Argos have just gotten their first down. They are threatening to end the game by running plays and then, you know, not being able to have the clock stop with a minute 43 to go.
Argos will bring a man in motion. They'll go two receivers on each side. Stokes will keep it. Puts his head down. First down and then some to the 50, to the 40, 30, 20. Marcus Stokes is going to take it to the house. Touchdown, Argos. Oh, he tried to put a knee down. He did.
Because the theory being that if you knee down at the one, then you can literally just victory formation it off. There's no risk. Because if you give them a minute and a half left, they can maybe do a quick strike, onside kick, quick strike. Like, there's possibilities. You're in control, though, if you forego the score. It's kind of the theory. So he's trying to figure out, did Marcus Stokes get his foot down, his knee down, or did he go into the end zone and score the touchdown? That's a hard thing to stop yourself thinking about, right?
Marcus put a knee down at the one. Genius. I'm going to give him credit. You know what? He was going to score, and to his credit, he just dropped a knee down literally at the one-yard line to seal this game. A touchdown would have sealed it as well, my man. You would have had a touchdown and added to your stats. But that is some sharp football. No, they're going to say he got in. Never mind. Looked like they were marking the ball at the one. I think he tried to, or he tripped. One of the two. I'm watching the replay. He gets down, and it looks like he looks over to the sideline and tries to. Oh, he did. He didn't. He tried to put his knee down. because somebody was yelling at him at the side, but he couldn't do it in time. What a crazy play.
You know who was yelling at him from the sidelines to get down? Caleb Noble's coach was running down the sidelines yelling, "Get down, get down, get down." But, you can't say. And they, of course, won. Nothing else happened after that. Good game. 51-38, 9-0. Unbelievable. That's your UWF Argos Player of the Week, brought to you by Bogies Golf Suites and Sports Bar. Great place to watch live sports, to go after the game if you're on campus. They're right there on University north of 9 Mile. They've got all kinds of virtual and interactive sports, from golf to football to baseball, hockey, zombie dodgeball. You can bring your own golf clubs or use theirs, footballs, all the gear. They've got it all, okay? They've also got a full bar, a full food menu, burgers, wings, pizza, salad, smoothies, everything. And again, you can either watch live sports there, or you can come celebrate after a game, or bring friends, team building exercises with work. Great fun birthday parties, all that stuff at Bogies Golf Suites and Sports Bar. BogiesGolfSuites.com, right on University Parkway by the UWF campus. So way to go, Argos, 9-0. Probably going to stay number three because everybody else that was ahead of us, 1-2, also won. So, no advancement, but looking pretty good. We got a couple of things we need to get tightened up, though, before we get into the playoffs. But that's what great teams can do. 8:49 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Open enrollment for health insurance starts November 1st, and this year, enroll in a Florida Blue plan and get exclusive support from an approved Florida Blue agent. Affiliated Insurance wants to help you find a health plan that's right for you and meets your needs, not theirs. Make enrollment hassle-free this year by calling 850-477-5840 and make that appointment with your local Florida Blue agent today. Policies have limitation. Health insurance from Blue Cross Blue Shield Florida Incorporated, BBA Florida Blue.
Down, set, hut. We're kicking off for the season at Sonny's Barbecue. Whether you're tailgating at the big game or sharing a meal with friends, it's always Sonny's. Enjoy the new fall menu with Maple Barbecue Smoked Turkey Club or Maple Barbecue Pork Burn-Ins. How about some sweet potato waffle fries or even our new pecan pie egg rolls? And don't forget the platter of slow-smoked chicken wings. Come see us at Sonny's with four locations in the News Radio area: Pace, 9th Avenue, Navy Boulevard, and Pine Forest. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
If you've been waiting for the right time to upgrade your windows, this is it. New South Window Solutions one-day sale is Saturday, November 8th. Save up to 50% off. You'll get 40% off automatically, plus 5% more with a military ID, and another 5% off when you bring a Toys for Tots donation. It's one day only, and you must purchase in the showroom November 8th. Book now at newsouthwindow.com. 12-month, no-interest financing available. It's your best chance to save big on premium, energy-efficient windows. Again, that's newsouthwindow.com. Limited appointments are available.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
I'm not gonna lie. This one hurts. This is gonna be my first air show to put on with the staff, and we love planning and executing this air show for the community that loves us and the Blue Angels, and to be able to give back. So this one hurts, and the only thing I can say is that we're gonna pivot and already start planning for next year's show.
Pivot. Sorry, it's the Ross. It's from Friends. Captain Chandra Newman, Mama San, commanding officer at AS Pensacola, announcing on Friday in a video we posted to our Facebook page. I'm sure most of you have heard by now the air show has been canceled. And you say, well, why does it have to be? Because, we're in shutdown. And if it's still shut down, we won't have an air show. And they have to make plans, and performers have to make plans, and vendors, and chair rentals, and everything. Like, it's all a big complicated exercise. And even if the base were reopened because everything got started again, it just wouldn't be fair to all the other elements of it to try to make that happen. The logistics just wouldn't work out. So, bummer. I've only lived here for 11 years. In my time I've been here, I don't think we've ever canceled a homecoming show before. They didn't move the homecoming show to the beach during COVID. Remember in 2020? And that was after the summer show did get canceled. The beach show, because we were all in like the very early days of COVID, two or three months in really at that point, and no beaches and masks everywhere and all the stuff that was going on with COVID at that time. We didn't have a beach show, but we did have a homecoming show at the beach in the fall. 653, which is really cool. It's very different. You know, it's kind of an interesting one. It's cold. But it's cold at the base, too. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The Supreme Court taking on President Trump's tariff plan tomorrow. The president previously said he was considering attending the arguments, but he told reporters on Air Force One yesterday he's now decided against attending.
I wanted to go so badly. I just don't want to do anything to deflect the importance of that decision.
And the case will focus on Trump's use of law meant for times of emergency to impose the duties without the help of Congress.
By the way, when did you say that oral argument is?
Tomorrow.
It's Wednesday, I believe.
Okay. I'll double check that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be a huge case. And yes. The funny thing is, I don't think they're going to, you know, quickly decide it either. They're just going to decide on a regular docket. So it'll be like 4 months before we know anything. But yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says some food assistance payments could start coming soon. The Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, or SNAP, did run out of money November 1st. Two federal judges, though, ruling that the Trump administration will need to make partial payments and use discretionary funds. And we've got a monkey update, Andrew. One of those three escaped lab monkeys that were escaped when a truck crashed in Mississippi has been shot and killed. According to the Jasper County Sheriff's Office, it was shot by a woman who spotted the animal in her yard on Sunday morning. Investigators, of course, initially said 21 of these rhesus monkeys were in a truck that overturned on I-59. Of all the monkeys that escaped, 15 were rescued, 4 have now been killed, and 2 are still on the loose.
All right. I was going to play you the Tarzan yell, but then you say they killed a monkey. It's not really funny anymore. Just sort of sad. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Highway 29 around the Kingsfield area going southbound. You're going to see just a minor delay in that area. But other than that, we're good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you are considering selling your home or home, the way most people pronounce it, or I got caught between house and home. Sorry. That just make you spit your...
Almost, bro. Almost.
You were so close.
I was taking a drink.
See, the byproduct of being relentlessly sarcastic and mocking everything is you turn it on yourself, too. Like, I know when I say stupid stuff or sound stupid. Anyway, if you're thinking about selling your domicile, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty can help with that. And, man, I just cannot get over this. I was talking with her the other day, and I said, you know what? What do you want me to tell folks? And she said, well, the market has changed. You know, it used to sort of not matter a lot who you had as a realtor. I mean, it did. It still mattered when the market was hot. But the market is not as hot today. And so it matters quite a bit if you've got somebody who's capable of getting you all the way through to the deal. And she said, you know, we've had people come to us after they've already had a realtor or two or three or four or five. You know, selling a home is already stressful enough and, you know, psychologically draining. Can you imagine not just like one or two even one, changing realtors? Five? Oh, my God. You'd be at your wit's end. And you come to Christine, and she's like, yeah, we can sell your home. And they sell your home. You know, like, no big deal. Whatever. We do this all the time. 786-3996 for Christine Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty. All right. What else do we have going on today? I have so much stuff here. I don't know that I'll get to it. Oh, I thought this was fascinating. Interesting research indicates that the psychological association between trolls and narcissism, you know, online people who seem to enjoy twisting everybody else up and making everybody angry. And there's two different kinds of envy. There's sort of ordinary envy that doesn't really wish another person harm. It's just like you wish you had a thing. And then malicious envy, which is an effort to tear other people down who might have a thing, a hostility, desire to see more successful people, you know, get their own, like Schadenfreude, that kind of thing. Anyway, researchers theorized that malicious envy, not benign envy, might be the bridge between narcissism and trolling. And so that also, and exposure to antisocial media content, such as media depicting fighting, rule breaking, pranks, all that kind of stuff. And what they discovered is that, sure enough, they did a whole survey of people. And in the process, the kind of people who engage in trolling online, you know, just being aggravating for aggravating sake, that those people are often correlated with people who have a high narcissism and malicious envy traits, which in a way doesn't really come as any surprise if you think about it. This is the one kind of person that I will block online. You can disagree with me about everything. It doesn't bother me. Trolls, no, not doing it. I just block. I had a guy make some super trolly comment the other day on my Facebook page, and I joked back with him. I'm like, yeah, thank you for that scholarly, well-thought-out opinion, you know? And then he said something even worse. I'm like, yep, you're done. That's it. You're blocked. I don't care. I don't know you. We don't need to play this game. So we can have a conversation or you can go away. Anyway, so yeah, I think it's fascinating. I've never understood it. I am always trying to, like, let's have a conversation. Let's, you know, build a relationship. Let's do something constructive. It's part of the reason why I don't comment a lot online. I mean, I comment on my own page. And even there, when people start to get off into their, you know, two-person deathmatch off of whether it's, you know, Trump is evil or not, it happens all the time. I just usually leave those folks alone. Like, you know, it's the old line about, you know, you don't want to wrestle in the mud with the pig because you get dirty and the pig likes it. You know, like, that's kind of my attitude towards this stuff, is it doesn't ever work for anything. But I'm always trying to be edifying. You know, can we make this thing better, make it interesting? And if I can't think of a way to do it, I'll just pass. I'll just move on. And a lot of times you can't. Social media is such a, you know, toxic environment. Just remember, makes you dirty and makes the pig happy. Listen on air.